Today we're going to be looking at a conversation that takes place between Jesus and the disciple called Peter in John's Gospel chapter 21. And I think that we're going to find this challenging, encouraging, and instructive for us in our Christian lives. Peter, as you may remember, was one of the leading disciples. Perhaps we could say even that he was the leading disciple, as he seemed to be always the one who was the first to speak, the first to take the lead in what was going on. You'll remember that Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses after the Lord had been arrested, while he was being tried. When Peter was challenged as to his relationship with the Lord, he denied that he ever knew him. Undoubtedly, Peter regretted ever having done that, and he went out and wept bitterly. Well, in the passage that we come to today, Peter is restored to the Lord and commissioned by the Lord to go out and serve him. Perhaps that's why in Peter's epistle that he wrote, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, this is Peter writing, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you." And then he says in verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Well, Peter's commission to shepherd or to pastor the people of God takes place in the chapter that we're going to begin studying today, John's Gospel, chapter 21. My name is Roger Pasco. I welcome you to this program that we bring to you each week at this time on this radio station. And as we continue our studies in John's Gospel, we're trusting God that he will use these to bless you in your Christian life. Well, before we begin this passage, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for another day of your goodness and grace. We thank you for this conversation that you had with Peter and the instruction that you gave him. And I pray that it will find its way deep into our hearts and minds, and that the instruction you gave Peter may be made good to us, that we will practice it in our own lives. For we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just to get the context, let's read from John's Gospel, chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. If you've read this chapter before, you'll remember that Jesus, of course, is now risen from the dead. He has met the disciples in the room where they were gathered together. He's revealed himself to Thomas. We looked at that the last time we were together on this program. And as we come now into the 21st chapter, Jesus comes to the disciples again, this time, however, not in a room behind closed doors, but on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias. Evidently, by this time, some of the disciples have gone back to their old profession of fishing, for that's what many of them were before they were called to be disciples of Jesus. Simon Peter, in verse 3, says, "I'm going fishing." Others said that they were going with him as well. And it was at that time that Jesus came and stood on the shore in verse 4, and the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them in verse 5, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And so you remember that Jesus instructs them to cast out their net on the right side of the boat, and they caught a huge catch of fish. Peter realized that it is the Lord. He cast himself into the waters to get to the Lord on the shore. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." And he cooked breakfast for them. This was the third time that Jesus had showed himself to his disciples after he had risen from the dead. Then we come to verse 15. "So, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Well, we'll stop there for today. Well, I've entitled this message, and the messages that we'll do as we finish up John 21, I've entitled these Lessons in Christian Service. Lessons in Christian Service. A few years ago, they did a study as to the kind of service that various retail stores give their customers, and they surveyed a lot of those customers, and many of them had received discourteous service, poor service, but most of them didn't say anything. They discovered that most businesses are indifferent as to whether they give good service to their customers or not, and in fact, there's a fairly high degree of indifference even among the customers themselves. And indifference is a plague for businesses, and it's also a plague for the Christian church. The Christian church claims to have the greatest story ever told, and we do. We say that our beliefs is the key to finding God, and it is. But sometimes I wonder whether our lack of zeal, our indifference, makes what we claim to be not credible, not believable. We suffer often, don't we, as Christians, from a heavy dose of indifference, a lack of interest, even in spiritual things, a lack of concern for spirituality and for the salvation of other people. And it seems that this indifference, this lack of concern, had struck Peter and the other 6 disciples. Already they have forgotten Jesus' commission, that they were to go out and catch live men, not dead fish. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Can you see here in our chapter how the wonder of the resurrection, the amazement of the resurrection, has soon been replaced by the attraction of going back to their old profession of fishing? Going back to what they knew, going back to what they were comfortable with. After all, now things had changed. And the 3.5 years that they had spent with Jesus, well, they were good years, they were good learning experience, but you can see how in the disciples' minds now they were saying to themselves, well, that's over now, let's go back to what we did before. And just like a previous occasion in Luke chapter 5, their night of fishing has been fruitless. They have caught nothing. And just as he had done then, so now Jesus meets them where they are and turns a bad night into a wonderfully good morning. On their own, they had caught nothing. But with his help, they caught a multitude of fish, it says in verse 6. They caught so many fish, it says, that they were not able to draw the net in because of the large catch. Jesus is still the perfect servant. He's made a fire, he's cooked fish and provided bread for them after their hard night's work, and he invites them to eat the breakfast that he had prepared for them. It's then that Jesus turns from the group to Peter. And of course, it's recorded in Holy Scripture for us to benefit from as well. He not only is speaking to Peter, but to us, for us to learn about Christian service. And he reveals to Peter the condition for Christian service in the passage that we're studying together, verses 15 to 22. It's significant that Jesus chose to reveal this lesson to Peter, considering Peter's recent denial of him. Some think that this records Peter's restoration to Jesus, but evidently his restoration had taken place before this time, because Jesus says nothing here about his failure. Jesus says nothing here about his disloyalty. Jesus says nothing here about his denial of him. And sin would have had to have been dealt with before communion could be restored. That's always the case in the Christian life. We cannot have communion with God unless sin has been dealt with, unless it has been confessed and forgiven. So evidently, the restoration between Peter and Jesus had taken place before this time. Because also Peter said nothing about his failure either, and surely there would have been regret. Surely he would have expressed remorse and apologies for what he had done. And furthermore, Peter was eager to get to Jesus. He jumped into the water, out of the boat, in order to get to him as quickly as he could, and you would hardly think that he would do that if he had not already been restored to a right relationship with the Lord. Well, probably his restoration to Jesus took place on two prior occasions. Firstly, when Jesus looked at Peter after his third denial of him. That's found in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. That was when the rooster had crowed. Just as Jesus had said, Peter had already denied him three times, and it was at that moment that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Well, Peter's weeping is an indication of his remorse, of his repentance, of his utter shame at what he had done. So perhaps that was the very first step in Peter's restoration to the Lord. And then Peter met the Lord privately in Luke chapter 24 and verse 34 on the resurrection day. And undoubtedly his restoration would surely have been the first order of business. You find that recorded in Luke chapter 24 and verse 34, where the disciples said, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." So Peter, who is also known as Simon, is mentioned specifically there, that the Lord had met with him. And undoubtedly Peter's restoration had been part of that meeting. So this is not about Peter's restoration, although it is about the public manifestation of that restoration, but it's about Peter's commissioning to Christian service. And the lesson that we learn here is this: only by God's grace are we commissioned to serve the Lord, and not by our own worthiness. Only by God's grace are we commissioned to serve the Lord, and not by our own worthiness. If there was one disciple that you could choose, that you would think would never be allowed by Jesus to serve him again, you would probably think of Peter. But you see, it isn't a matter of our own worthiness by that any of us are called into the Lord's service. It is only by God's grace. And he is the one who authorizes us and empowers us to serve him. And of course, we can only serve him properly if we are walking in a right relationship with him. Even when we failed badly, Jesus restores and commissions us, calls us to serve him. And in our passage, Jesus is spelling out to Peter what is required to serve him. And like Peter, we need to understand the three foundations of Christian service. The first foundation of Christian service is this: the pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. The pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. Despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still values our love. You'll notice that Jesus calls Peter here Simon. He takes Peter back to the beginning of their relationship. Just that name alone would have sparked in Peter's memory the history of his discipleship. By Jesus calling him Simon, he would have remembered that he had been called while he was a fisherman to follow Jesus, while he was known as Simon. He would have remembered that he had responded to that call by leaving everything to follow Jesus. He would have remembered that he had been on fire for the cause of Christ. He would have remembered that he had even at one time claimed to be more loyal than all the other disciples, but that under pressure, his loyalty had proven to be more talk than action. So when Jesus called him Simon, all of those memories would have probably come flooding back into his mind, going back to the very beginning when Jesus called him to be his disciple. And now Jesus rebuilds the foundation of their relationship in order to commission Peter for his service. When we speak of commissioning, what we mean there is giving someone the authority to go out and serve. And Jesus is commissioning Peter for his service. He's authorizing Peter. He's giving him the authority. He's calling him into his service to go out and serve him. And despite his feeble loyalty, despite Peter's feeble loyalty, Jesus still valued his love. Twice Jesus asked Peter if he loves him. He says, "Do you love me more than these?" in verse 15. Now, what do you think Jesus is referring to when he says these? Do you love me more than these? Is he referring to the fish that he has caught? Or is he referring to the other men, the other disciples? It could be that he is referring to the fish because Peter's gone back to his old profession. Didn't take him long, did it, to forget his calling and his following of Jesus, his discipleship. Jesus has died, and even though he knows that he's risen again, all of a sudden Peter is going back to what he had been doing before, and he catches this great catch of fish when he follows Jesus' instruction to cast the net out on the right side of the boat, and undoubtedly that was a great victory for Peter. He was probably very excited about having caught all those fish, and so perhaps Jesus is saying, "Do you love me more than these fish?" Or is fishing what is most important in your life? Or perhaps Jesus is saying, "Do you love me more than these other men?" And it seems to me that it could be both, but probably Jesus is referring to the other disciples. The reason I think that Jesus is referring to the other disciples is that Peter was the one who had previously placed him above all of the other disciples, all of the other men, in his loyalty and his allegiance to the Lord. You find that recorded, for example, in Mark chapter 14 and verse 29. Peter said to Jesus, "Even if all," that is, all these men, "are made to stumble, yet I will not stumble." And again in Luke 22 and verse 33, when Peter was vowing to be absolutely faithful to the Lord, he said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Well, it's probably in connection with these expressions of loyalty and placing himself above the other disciples that Jesus asks him now this question, "Do you really love me more than these do?" And then again in verse 16, "Do you love me?" he says to Peter. Jesus drops the phrase "more than these" in verse 16. It's almost as though he takes the pressure off Peter. Now he's not speaking in terms of Peter's love for the Lord in comparison to all the other disciples, but just in absolute terms, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus lets him search his own heart about where the Lord fits into his life. Do you love me? Or is your love greater for other things? For your old occupation? Or for other pursuits? Have other things come in to steal your heart away from me? And so dropping the comparison, Jesus is saying, "Do you really love me? Do you love me with all of your mind? Do you love me with all of your heart? Do you love me with all of your soul? Peter, are you fully committed to me? Am I the object of your affection, of your devotion, and of your loyalty?" And both times, Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Now, he uses a different word for love than Jesus does, but that doesn't really mean that he's expressing any less of a fully devoted love. He uses a word for love that expresses the love between brothers, and sisters. In other words, the love between a family, whereas Jesus uses a different word for love. But nonetheless, Peter is saying, I love you. He does not reply to Jesus' question about his love compared to that of the other disciples. By his silence, perhaps Peter is admitting that he doesn't love Jesus any more than the rest of them. Undoubtedly, by now, Peter is fully aware of the consequences of his denial of Jesus. Undoubtedly, it has made Peter much more conscious of his own weaknesses and failings, that he isn't any more faithful to Jesus than any of the other disciples. And he knows Jesus' penetrating knowledge. And he says to him, you know that I love you. In other words, Peter is saying, you know everything about me. You knew before that I would deny you. That's why you prayed for me, that Satan would not get a hold of me to sift me like wheat. You prayed for me at that time. You knew that when the rooster crowed, I would have already denied you three times. And now he says to Jesus, you know, Lord. You know my heart. You know that I love you. And finally, Jesus asked Peter one more time in verse 17, do you love me? This time, Jesus uses the exact same word that Peter does for love. And Peter is grieved. He's upset. It's not clear what has caused Peter to be grieved. Perhaps it's because Jesus has asked him three times. It's as though Jesus is saying, Peter, are you really sure? Are you really sure? Are you really sure that you love me? Is that true? You've said it before. You said that you were more loyal than all the other disciples before, and that didn't turn out to be true. Are you sure now? And so he asked Peter three times. Perhaps that's why Peter is upset. And now Peter replies to him and says, you know all things. In verse 16, he had just said, you know that I love you. Now he is saying, you know all things. You know that I love you. In other words, Peter is saying, you don't just know the condition of my heart. You know absolutely everything about me. You know everything in my life. You know everything in my mind, my thoughts, my attitudes. And you certainly know everything in my heart. You not only know that I love you, you know all things. And included in those all things is your knowledge of my heart. Because Jesus knows all things, he must surely realize that Peter loves him. And within Peter's heart, surely Peter is now convinced that he has this humble love for Jesus. It's not a proud love that would claim to be greater than all of the other disciples' love for Jesus, but he loves him just as the others do, no better, no worse, and he has learned not to trust himself. Well, where does Jesus fit into your life? We need to evaluate our priorities about serving Jesus. If past failures are holding you back, they can be forgiven. The people God uses to accomplish his purposes, they all failed. Abraham, the great father of faith, he lied. Moses, the great leader of God's people through the wilderness, he lost his temper. Noah, the great man of faith who built an ark even through all of those years when people ridiculed him about what he was doing, he got drunk. Elijah despaired of God's power and wanted to die. David committed adultery and murder. And Jonah went in the opposite direction from God's call. The problem is when we fail, Satan is quick to run us into the ground. He is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to say to us, you're no good. You can't serve God. God can't use you anymore. But we have an advocate who pleads our cause before God. We have a defender in Jesus. He is our Redeemer, our Savior, and he restores us to a right relationship with him. Jesus doesn't write down every time we fall on our face in failure. He just restores us to fellowship with him. Now we have to confess our sin, of course, in order to be restored. We have to repent. But Jesus loves to restore us to a right relationship with him. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. And it's interesting that that would be written by Peter in his epistle. Peter has learned on the beach beside the Lake of Tiberias that day, this truth that love covers a multitude of sins. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you today. We're going to continue this the next time on this program called Transforming Grace that comes to you each week at this time on this radio station. And we look forward to being with you again next week at this time.